For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Ready? See if you can identify these five clips in the order that they're played. It could be from a song, a movie, a TV show, or something else. But if it's coming from this podcast, then you know that it's from Generation X. Listen closely. Good luck.
Johnny, what can you make out of this?
This? Well, I could make a cap, or a brooch, or a pterodactyl.
Take a sniff, pull it out. The taste is gonna move you when you pop it in your mouth.
The humanoid must not escape. The humanoid not dying here.
Hey, hey, do you remember when life was better somehow? And every TV sitcom theme sounded kinda like the one that I'm singing now. Schoolhouse Rock and Just Say No. MTV and G.I. Joe and drinking from the garden hose. Now that we're older, stuff is just fading from memory. And no, it's not because we're all about to join AARP. But someone's gotta remember it all, be tore it up and fades away for good. So who's gonna save a generation? Are you gonna save a generation? Who will save Generation X?
Who will save Generation X is filmed before a live studio audience.
Hello, and welcome to Who Will Save Generation X, the trivia game show that is dedicated to remembering, celebrating, and preserving all the wonderful qualities of Generation X through games, trivia, and friends. I am Dr. Robert, your temporary host, and today we are back with our next single-player edition of the show we call The Home Game. This alternative format of the show gives you a chance to play at home with a friend or play by yourself, as well as giving you your fix of Gen X trivia in between regular episodes of the show. So the first question you would be asking in this episode is, who is this person and why is he here and what has he done with Zabe? All very good questions. Well, who am I? You may remember me from classic episodes such as Episode 16 or Home Game 7 or my five questions in the con in Challenging Stage 1. All stone cold classics. Why am I here? Well, that kind of goes along with what have we done with Zabe? We've done nothing with him yet, but we're hoping for something later. I am here to host this show temporarily because we are celebrating Zabe's 50th birthday. And to celebrate this, he is going to take a turn in the contestant's chair and allow me to host this show along with writing the questions for this show. And we're going to see how he does. But that is why I'm here. That is what we have done with Zabe. He will join us. I am thrilled to have the privilege and the pleasure to once again welcome a live studio audience joining for this game. What a bunch of lovely faces we have out there tonight. The audience is made up of our Patreon supporters and friends of the show. It's an exclusive group that we welcome to join us during the recording of the show, and is one way that we show our gratitude to those who support the podcast through our Patreon account. We count our blessings for those generous... What?
Patreon? Is it pronounced Patreon or is it Patreon?
How do you pronounce it?
Patreon? Patreon, yeah.
Okay. Let's see if I do it like you. Yeah, this from the guy who said the host of The Twilight Zone was Rod Sterling. Yeah, you're going to get on me. It's my Midwestern accent.
My bad.
I will start over just for you, son.
That's fine. Keep rolling.
I'm going to start over. Stop it. I am thrilled to have the privilege and the pleasure to once again welcome a live studio audience that is joining us for the game. The audience is made up of our Patreon supporters and friends of the show. It's an exclusive group that we welcome to join us during the recording of our show, and is one way that we show our gratitude to those who support the podcast through our Patreon account. We count our blessings to those generous folks out there who support our Patreon account. Thank you.
This is the world's most edited podcast, Robert. Just keep it rolling.
It will be by the end of the night, man. Here's how we play the home game. Each episode, we invite a special guest and let them set the benchmark score for you to try to beat. Each round has a different game for you to try out. And at the end, you can compare your score with that of our special guest benchmark and earn your rank on the quiz. Our special guest this episode needs no introduction, even though I've already given him one. He is the usual host of this podcast and the key master of all things Gen X, Zabe. Hi, Zabe. Thanks for coming on your own show.
Zabe.
It is a pleasure to be here. Robert, before we even go another second, I just want to say thank you so much for taking over the guest chair tonight. I appreciate it very much. I'm excited. I'm nervous. I've explained to the live studio audience that I feel very much exposed right now in that I don't have any control over anything. And it just makes me a little bit nervous. But I'm happy to be here. And I'm excited. And I think this is going to be a lot of fun. Thank you.
If it's any consolation, it's equally weird for me to be on the other side of this. It's been a long time since I've ever hosted any kind of radio show or web show where I actually had to interact with another human being. So we're both on kind of
we got a Freaky Friday ground. Thing going. There's a Freaky Friday thing going on right now. Yeah.
Not a main anymore.
I do know. So say hello to listeners. Tell them a little bit about yourself. Please include what generation you're from. I think you know. And how you feel about setting the benchmark score for this episode.
I am from Generation X, obviously. How do I feel? I feel super nervous about it because we've had a lot of successful people on the show and they've done really well. And if I come in here and get an F on the rank, I mean, that's not going to be good for me. But I think I'm going to do well. And the what was the other question that I wrote that I can't remember?
See, I think you're good to go.
Okay.
You feel better?
I do. Well, we're celebrating my birthday here, and I think that's great. You didn't ask for my Gen X credentials, but since we're talking birthday, one of my Gen X credentials is that I was born on March 24th, and the Breakfast Club takes place on March 24th. So I feel like this, and it's like this seminal Gen X movie, right? If they had to pick one movie that's super Gen X, I think Breakfast Club would rank really high on that list. So, you know, it means nothing that my birthday happens to be on it. But whenever I see it a pop up on the screen, I always think, yeah, it's my birthday. How fun is that? So
it means something to you.
It does.
Though.
It does.
Zabe was born in detention, ladies and gentlemen. Remember that.
But face it, you're a neo-maxi-zoom dweeby.
So you ready to roll? You ready to see how you can do tonight with some interesting games and even one new one that I've made up for you?
I am ready to do my part to save Generation X.
I have given a pretty generous grading scale, I think, for this show, because even though most of the questions are multiple choice, I did manage to twist them in ways that I think made them a little more difficult.
I just pretend to be a really smart guy in the podcast. I'm really not, but we'll see.
That's our entire generation. Faking it since 1965.
Enough talk.
All right, guys. So, listeners, let's see if you can outscore this e-master of all things Gen X. Or see if you need to go back and refresh your memory of the cool stuff of our youth. All right. Drop me a power struggle clip. Drop it.
The power
struggle.
That was beautiful. In the opening to this episode, you heard five quick clips from Generation X. The game is called The Power Struggle. And in this game, you need to name those five clips in the order that they were played. If you get all five correct and in the correct order, then you will be bumped up an entire letter grade and rank at the end of the quiz. Think of it as sort of like an extra credit question to help out with your score. So good luck to everybody, even you, Zabe. You know, Zabe, as Gen Xers, we have all experienced moments in our lives where we just don't want to deal with other people's horse hockey anymore. In these moments, we sometimes throw up our hands, roll our eyes, and say, whatever.
Whatever.
To honor this. Yes, that exactly. To honor this time love tradition of Generation X. If at some point in this episode you feel you are apathetic about answering a question, you can use your whatever lifeline and appeal to this live studio audience. Look at all those brainy faces out there waiting to help you. All these wonderful people we have here tonight, and see if they can give you a clue. So audience, be ready to give Zabe a clue should he ask for it. And we'll see if our audience is clueless or not.
Is that where I press this button?
Play whatever clip.
Whatever.
Got it.
Zabe, you only get one whatever lifeline. So use it wisely. There are a total of 30 points available in this episode. So everyone keep track of your score, especially you live studio audience. And we'll see how well you did versus our special guest benchmark at the end of the episode. Smooth as silk, folks.
I wish you could just shut your big yapper.
I'll punch you later. So that's enough talking about it. Let's do it. It's time to see if you can save Generation X from fading into oblivion.
I got to say, before we start, I think there's a 69% chance I go to Donnie and Thomas for my whatever lifeline. They've been pretty dominant.
Round one.
Round one this episode is our trivia round. Each complete correct answer is worth 2 points. If you think you can convince the judges into giving you partial credit for your answer, you can award yourself 1 pity point for your partial correct response. We'll use the honor system here. Good luck. All right, Zabe, in this round, you will have 5 trivia questions to answer that I have written based on things that you enjoy for the most part. All right, sir, are you ready to save your generation?
I am.
All right. Question one. 3 Company delighted television audiences for 8 seasons with misunderstandings galore and a cast of colorful characters. In season 4, the show added a sexy divorcee played by actress Anne Wedgeworth that was constantly pursuing Jack and being pursued reluctantly by Mr. Furley. What was the name of this character? This is multiple choice. Is it A, Lucia Bustamante, B, Lana Tanner, C, Shirley LaLanne, D, Lana Shields, or E, Eileen Boothways?
Very good indeed. You're wicked, you are, eh? Wicked, eh? Wicked.
Oh, boy.
Say no more.
I don't know. I'm not saying I don't know, because I have no points to lose yet. Yeah, none of those options are even ringing any sort of bells for me, not even a little bit. But I really don't think anyone in the studio audience is going to know either. I have a...
Well, let's be honest, you have a 25% chance of getting it right, because I think you know which one it isn't, so...
Sure. Upon hearing them for the first time, B was the one that jumped out at me, so I'm going to change my answer to C.
Okay, so C, Shirley LaLanne, is your answer. Shirley LaLanne was C.
Shirley LaLanne... They wouldn't use that on television. LaLanne, that's not a television name.
Yeah, it's not like there was a bodybuilder named Jack with that last name who was on television for 50 years.
Right, I know. Juicers. I'm just saying, though. That's but he wasn't on Three's Company, was he?
Well, unless he was in Dragon named Shirley. No, I don't think he was.
And don't call me Shirley.
Let's just stick with my original answer and just go with B.
B. Lana Tanner is incorrect.
Damn it.
You were this close, man.
Was it C?
It's D. Lana Shields.
Oh. There's 2 Lanas on there. Made me think is one or the other, but
you fell into my trap.
Live studio audience, raise your hand if you knew that one. Okay. She knew?
Dang it.
I should have gone to live studio audience. Oh, well.
Lucia Bustamante was an actual other character that pursued Jack. She was the daughter of a gangster that Jack was giving cooking lessons to. And of course, hijinks ensued. All right. You're off to a rip-roaring start with no points. Are you ready for question 2?
Yeah, I'm ready for question 2.
I'll take that as a yes. Superman 3 arrived in cinemas in 1983 and found the Man of Steel battling an evil tycoon, the Ultimate Computer, and Richard Pryor as computer genius Gus Gorman. Gus is given the task of analyzing kryptonite so it can be recreated to kill Superman. However, upon analysis, he discovers one ingredient is listed as unknown. What substance does Gus type in to replace the unknown factor? This is not a multiple choice.
I love this question so much, Robert, because I know
it's kind of a throwback to how we
that's
met
why
in
I
the
love
first
it mostly.
Place, actually.
Well, it's so funny to me because in the movie, he is looking at his pack of cigarettes and he's trying to think of a way to, well, what should I do? You can see the wheels turning his head and he looks and he sees the word tar. Tar is the mystery element that he puts in. Of all things in the world to put in your kryptonite, tar is what he came up with. So there we go.
Tar is 100% correct, sir.
Word.
However, Gus didn't completely fail. As a fun fact, this twisted version of kryptonite is what sends Superman into an evil downward spiral, becoming a selfish, mean-spirited drunk. So basically, the big difference between regular Superman and that Superman was the drunk part. So Superman's a jerk. Oh, I'll throw this entire building to save a bird.
I believe they, to get real nerdy here, if you correct me if I'm wrong, live studio audience, but that they took that idea from the comic books where red kryptonite is what turns Superman into an a-hole. Is that correct?
Yes. That film is more fun than people give it credit for.
Absolutely.
Really think it's better than
it's Superman
think.
Versus Richard Especially Pryor for crying out loud.
And himself.
Yeah.
That's the best Superman part. And beat the living crap out of Clark Kent.
I gotta say, Superman 3, that scene where they get the Dark Superman is probably the best chunk out of any of the Superman movies, in my opinion. Because you see Christopher Reeve really do some real acting. You know, he really changes. He stretches a little bit. So Superman 3, yeah, it is.
What always listen to your wife. Neil before Zod.
Oh, that's legit, but that's, you know.
It's so good.
If I were Terrence Stamp, I would just walk up to people on the street and say that, you know. Hi, Neil before Zod.
Not what I mean. Say no more.
That's all I got.
Right. What a great segue into question three. Prince debuted on the scene in the late 1970s and quickly became an R&B superstar. While the A-sides of his singles were burning up the chart, the non-album B-sides were garnering equal amounts of attention. One of the funkiest and raciest of these B-sides was the now classic Erotic City. What was the A-side to that B-side? This is multiple choice, so stop making that face. Calm down. Is it A, When Doves Cry? B, Let's Go Crazy? C, Purple Rain? Or D, Take Me With You?
What's the year of that again?
1984 would have been the year for that.
84. I don't think anyone knows this off the top of their head, so I can't use my whatever lifeline. They'd be guessing just like me, I think.
All from the same 1984 album.
Yeah. I was hoping the year would help me somehow, but I'm like, those are all from the same year. So it's going to be a complete guess. And if I'm going with a complete guess, I'll go with my favorite Prince song, which is Purple Rain, and we'll let it roll with that.
All right. C, Purple Rain is a wonderful single, but an incorrect answer. It was B, Let's Go Crazy, that had Erotic City on the flip side of it. Well, if you're going to go crazy, you might as well do it in Erotic City.
Yeah, two up-tempo songs, though, on the same thing. I liked my thinking. At least they would switch it up a little bit. But
little fun fact for you. The other three B-sides were 17 Days on When Doves Cry, a song called God on Purple Rain, and the album cut Baby, I'm a Star on Take Me With.
Robert, you're setting the difficulty level of this episode set to you, not to me.
I'm giving you multiple choice, you whiner.
I get it, but I'm just saying. You can't assume that I'm as smart as you is what I'm getting at, Robert.
Judges, is this show too hard? No, I guess not. So,
judges?
I've replaced your regular judges with new and improved Folgers Crystal judges.
You're soaking in it.
I paid them off, man. All right, Madge, we're moving on to question four. Every great organization begins with just one man, and G.I. Joe was no different. Hasbro introduced the original G.I. Joe action figure back in 1964. America's movable fighting man was a solo act at the start, made even more ready for action with the addition of his famous kung fu grip in 1974. How tall was the original G.I. Joe action figure? Was he A, 9 inches, B, 10 inches, C, 12 inches, D, 14 inches, or E, 69 inches?
69, dudes!
I got so overconfident when I was hearing you read this question because I thought the question is going to be, how big did they shrink him down to in the 80s, not how big was he pre-Gen X?
Ladies want to know how big G.I. Joe was.
Yeah, well, talking G.I. Joe, it's got to be the full 12 inches, baby.
So your answer is C, 12 inches?
Oh, I mean, they say if you don't know for sure, just go with what you have firsthand knowledge of. So I'm going 12 inches.
C, 12 inches is correct.
Damn right it is.
He was. Oh, if it had been 69 inches, that poor guy. Oh, my God. It'd be like a fire hose. G.I. Joe. All right. But you got two right so far. You're doing all right, man. Mm-hmm. I've seen worse. You're really going to hate me on this one then if you think I'm being mean. But
great. It's my birthday. Go. Throw me a bone here.
I am throwing you bones. It's not my fault. You can't catch them, man.
Okay. All right. All right.
All right. Question five, the question that cares. Here we go. In 1980, the Blues Brothers hit the big screen with smash hits and smash cards. After taking a mighty penguin beating from Sister Mary Stigmata, the nun that runs the orphanage they grew up in, Jake and Elwood relaxed with Curtis, the custodian of the place and a father figure to them both. Elwood claimed Curtis was the only person that was ever good to them, playing the harmonica for them, as well as playing Elmore James records. In fact, an Elmore James record is playing in the background as they chat. What Elmore James record are they checking out? this is multiple choice because I am a kind person.
I don't even
need
the multiple choice. This is super easy. Go ahead. For the listeners, let's go ahead and do it.
Because it's all for the listeners, man. It should be. Yeah.
So, for sure.
Is it A, shake your moneymaker? B, dust my broom? C, mean mistreating mama? Or D, every day I have the blues?
Shake your moneymaker, easy crush.
Anyone else know if he's right or not? Just out of curiosity. Thought so. But you ready for this? A, shake your moneymaker is 100% dead on correct.
See, I told you. No problem.
Well done. That's a tough one because that song's not playing that loud either. All of those were legitimate Elmore James records, by the way. So,
in all honesty, that was a total guess. But I do remember that song being in the movie. So I think that's why I picked it.
You nailed it. See, I thought maybe if I put mean mistreating mom in there, you'd think of the upstairs scene and be like, oh, that would make sense. You know, well done. So what is your score here after round one, sir?
Robin,
what do we got?
I got 6 points.
Well done. 6 out of 10. Excellent job. Congratulations to you, sir. Your birthday's off to a rocking start. You got the majority.
Could be the highest grade I've ever gotten on any quiz ever.
That include high school?
Oh, especially high school.
Right. All right. We're going to move on to round two, which is all brand new. Something I've made up for Zabe to challenge him. But before we start round two, let's take another listen to that power struggle.
Johnny, what can you make out of this?
This? Well, I can make a cap or a brooch or a pterodactyl.
Take a sniff. Pull it out.
The humanoid must not escape. The humanoid not dying.
Number three, I totally know, but I'm having a hard time narrowing down which one it is.
What about the rest of you? Are you still struggling or do you have the power? Well, you'll have your chance towards the end of the episode here, especially if Zabe doesn't get them all. So stick around. In the meanwhile, let's hot on that. Yee-gee-goo-ga, ha-ba-ha. Let's move on to round two.
Round two.
Round two is a brand new game that I have devised to challenge Zabe on this historic occasion. And it's a game I like to call
Inconceivable.
You know, Zabe, there are right answers and wrong answers, but sometimes there are answers that just couldn't be right no matter what. Those are the inconceivable answers. This game is similar to your 8 is enough round in the head-to-head version of this show, as you will have two categories to choose from for each question. All questions will be multiple choice, and each question will have one correct answer, two wrong answer, and one
inconceivable
answer. Here's an example question for everyone. What Smith song was sampled for Soho's Hippie Chick in 1990? Was it A, Panic, B, Glamorous Glue, C, How Soon Is Now, or D, What Difference Does It Make? In this particular case, this is not your question. Calm down. It's an example. Sit back. The correct answer in this case would be C, How Soon Is Now. But the inconceivable answer is B, Glamorous Glue, as that was a solo record for Morrissey, not a Smith song. You really wish that was one of the questions, don't you?
I really do. I knew that one. I knew all those things.
You
Can we just pretend? Can we edit that in and make it one of my questions? I knew that one.
I'll call the Times and report you. It'll all be on the front page tomorrow.
All right.
You will receive 2 points for each correct answer, no points for a wrong answer. But if you choose the
inconceivable
answer, you will lose 1 point off your score. Are you ready, good sire?
Yeah, Yeah. I am ready.
All right. Let's storm the castle together then. You're going to have fun. You're going to have fun. Trust me. For your first question, you have the choice of we're superheroes, A, which is a comic books question, or are you not entertained, which is a television question.
Okay. I would like the television category, Robert.
All right. I think you will enjoy this. Then you have chosen are you not entertained? American Gladiators debuted in 1984, giving everyday people an opportunity to compete in a test of physical abilities against a group of ripped athletes. 12 colorful characters with powerful sounding stage names challenged the contestants, with new gladiators being introduced over the years. Which of the following was an original season one American Gladiator? Was it A, Turbo, B, Gemini, C, Adonis, or D, Viper?
Oh, they're also like macho names, you know, like
they're butch.
Yeah, they are. That's a good way to put it. Because my memory sucks, give me those names one more time.
All right, I'll give them to you very manly this time. Okay, A, yeah. Turbo-O. B, Gemini. C, Adonis. Or D, Viper. Which one was an original season one American Gladiator?
Okay. I think I remember a Gemini in there for some reason. I think Turbo is the inconceivable answer, as he was a member of the breakdancing crew in Breakin' 2 Electric Boogaloo.
So you must be Turbo and Ozone.
That's just my guesses.
All right. Your answer is B, Gemini, and you are correct.
Word.
Gemini was indeed an original season one American Gladiator. Turbo was a season two American Gladiator. A Viper was added in season three, and Adonis was the inconceivable answer. Adonis is the mortal lover of Aphrodite and Persephone in Greek mythology. So you have choice between two categories. Your categories are, but Indy, I can change, which is a movies question, or I'll have the Little Mac combo, which is a video games question.
Ooh, I'm much stronger with some Raiders of the Lost Ark. Let's do some Indy.
All right. So we are going with, but Indy, I can change. Indiana Jones had to face a number of villains in his search for the Lost Ark of the Covenant, but sometimes people can change. In fact, one of the actors that fought Indy in that film went on to play the President of the United States in The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai a few years later. Which Raiders actor snagged this fine role?
This sounds like more of a Buckaroo Banzai question than a Raiders Lost Ark question, but go ahead.
They're related.
All right.
Is it A, Paul Freeman? B, Al Molina, C, Ronald Lacey, or D, Michael Byrne?
Well, of that lineup, Alfred Molina is the most of a chameleon as far as actors go. I think he's got the biggest range between them all. So if they're going to pick somebody who can play multiple characters, it's going to be Alfred Molina. That is my educated guess. Because here's my Gen X disqualifier, potentially. I've never seen Buckaroo Banzai. So I'm going to just guess Alfred Molina.
Not a bad guess as guesses go, though. So B, Al Molina is your answer.
Yeah.
And that answer is incorrect, I'm afraid, but not inconceivable.
Inconceivable.
Oh, thank God.
The correct answer was C, Ronald Lacey. Yes, the little black-hatted, glasses-wearing Nazi scumbag with the Staff of Ra imprinted in his hand became President of the United States 3 years later in Buckaroo Banzai.
Wow.
Your inconceivable answer was D, Michael Byrne. He actually played SS Colonel Ernst Vogel in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, the final film of the trilogy, until the fourth one comes out this summer.
Yes, I'm excited for the fourth film. Been waiting, 20 plus years, right? 89, yes, 30 something years since.
I just hope we don't go see it and it turns out to be a myth. That would be disappointing.
Yeah, that would be.
All right. Well, hey, no points, but you didn't lose any. That's a plus. And hey, you got 2 points for the TV question. You're on a roll now. So here's question three. You have the choice of All the Ladies Love My Magic Missile, which is a gaming question, or The Importance of Being Jim, which is a film question.
Well, that sounds like a Dungeons and Dragons question. And we don't have enough Dungeons and Dragons on this podcast either. So I'm going D&D.
All right. He's gone with All the Ladies Love My Magic Missile. The original Dungeons & Dragons rulebook was printed in 1974, bringing owlbears to the masses. The original rules only had 3 character classes: cleric, fighting man, and magic user. Not warrior, not paladin, fighting man. And it was hyphenated. 3 supplemental rulebooks were released during that period to expand the classes, adding familiar ones such as thief, paladin, and druid. Which Dungeons & Dragons supplement was the first to be released? It is, again, of course, multiple choice. Was it A, Mystic Arcana? B, Blackmoor? C, Eldritch Wizardry? Or D, Greyhawk?
So we're talking not even advanced Dungeons & Dragons, right? This is way old school. This is soft cover stuff. Is that what we're talking about?
I was 5, man. I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't play till middle school. So,
well,
and beyond, same. We were way on fighting man at this point.
Yeah. There's no way I wasn't allowed to even consider playing Dungeons and Dragons in my very conservative Christian household. That was public enemy number one during Satanic Panic days, Dungeons and Dragons. Okay. To keep the trend going, let me hear those multiple choices one more time.
You got it. A, Mystic Arcana. B, Blackmoor. C, Eldritch Wizardry. or D, Greyhawk?
I mean, Greyhawk is the world, right? That is the campaign setting for those early D&D years. That seems like the best logical guess because I don't know offhand. So I'm going to reason it out and say Greyhawk.
D, Greyhawk is absolutely correct. It was indeed the first one released of the three, which were Greyhawk, Blackmoor, and Eldritch Wizardry. A, Mystic Arcana was the inconceivable answer. There was an Unearthed Arcana, but Mystic Arcana, I just made that crap up.
So. Word.
I am Dungeon Master, your guide in the realm of Dungeons and Dragons.
Well done, you. You're getting there. You scored.
We're getting real nerdy on the podcast. I love it.
Oh, yeah. All right. Question four. Let's see where you go with this one. You, again, have two choices. You have When the Planets Are Rockin', Don't Bother Knockin', which is a music and television question, or Leave Plinko Alone, Leave It Alone, which is a gaming and television question.
The well of knowledge that you have for television game shows is far deeper than mine, Robert. So I wouldn't dare pick that because I'm scared to know what you'd come up with. Although I'm dying to hear you say the name of that question again. But what are my two choices again? What are they?
When the Planets Are Rockin', Don't Bother Knockin', which is music and television, or Leave Plinko Alone, Leave It Alone, which is a television and gaming question.
Yeah, I remembered. I just want to hear you say it again. I'll go with the first one.
Zabe chooses When the Planets Are Rockin', Don't Bother Knockin'. On July 13th, 1985, Live Aid rocked the world and brought much-needed attention to the famine in Africa. Organized by Bob Geldof of the Boomtown Rats, the concert took place on two stages, Wembley Stadium in London, England, and JFK Stadium in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, here in the good old U.S. of A. While the U.K. stage featured mostly U.K. acts, a few Brits performed for the Yanks in Philly instead. Which of the following UK-based acts appeared on the JFK stage in Philadelphia? Was it A, Dire Straits, B, Culture Club, C, Eric Clapton, or D, Elvis Costello?
The question is, which British band or
which of those acts appeared on the American stage? You got it.
Okay. Again, I don't know, but I will take a guess and not get slimed. And I will say Elvis Costello.
The Elvis Costello is incorrect, but not inconceivable.
Dire Straits is inconceivable, right?
No.
No?
The answer was C, Eric Clapton. Not only did Clapton appear here in the United States, but his drummer was Phil Collins, who'd flown over from Wembley to also appear here in Philadelphia for that gig. No, the inconceivable answer was B, Culture Club. Culture Club did not appear at Live Aid at all. Boy George turned it down, and when the rest of the band found out, they were none too pleased about it, as you might imagine.
Inconceivable!
You're doing all right. I mean, so for question five, you once again have the choice of two categories. They are Straight Out of Athens, which is a music question, or They're Usually Not This Animated, which is a television question.
I'm going to skip the REM question and go to the animated question.
All right. I will put the B-52s question aside.
Damn it.
And I will go to the other question. Hey, it could have been a pylon question. Then he'd have been really lost, man. They're Usually Not This Animated. Many cartoons have been released over the years based on live action properties from film and television, which gave many of us a chance to see our favorite characters twice a week. Most of the time, however, the voices of the animated characters were not the performers familiar to the role. Which series had the original star or stars reprise their titular role for their animated counterparts? Was it A, Beetlejuice, B, Laverne and Shirley in Space, C, Teen Wolf, or D, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures? Which one of the series in that list did have the original people voicing the characters?
Yeah, I don't think Laverne and Shirley were in space. They were like in the army.
Do you want the choices one more time?
Yeah.
Okay. It's Beetlejuice, Laverne and Shirley in Space, Teen Wolf, or Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures.
I would like to use my whatever lifeline, please.
Whatever.
It's yours. Go to the audience. Who will you turn to?
I think pauljpowers.com might have a clue to this. Can you give me a clue, pauljpowers.com?
It's one of your favorite sound clips. 69, dudes.
pauljpowers.com.
Thank you, pauljpowers.com. I'm going to take a wild guess and say Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
wow, that was really wild. Just came out of nowhere like a bolt of lightning. D, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures is, good job, Paul J. Powers, correct. Alex Winter and Keanu Reeves both did indeed reprise their roles as Bill and Ted.
Oh, I was about to say in Teen Wolf, the dad came back and he voiced his role in Teen Wolf. So, but not the main people.
I picked the right guy who knows his voiceover cartoons.
The inconceivable answer. Good on you, Zabe. It was B, Laverne and Shirley in space. It was indeed Laverne and Shirley in the army, where their sergeant was a pig voiced by Ron Palillo of Horse Shack fame from Welcome Back, Cotter.
Did he do what they were supposed to do last night?
Yeah, Mr. Cotter, I did what I was supposed to do. But then it was too late to do homework after she left.
You're bad.
Job. Where are we at on a score for this gentleman now? He's doing, I think he's doing all right.
We're at 12 points. He scored 6 again.
All right, Zabe, you made it through. Congratulations. Just one more time for good measure.
Inconceivable!
I just wanted to do that.
You keep using the word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
All right. We're going to take another listen to the Power Struggle clip before we start round 3. But before we do that, let's hear a quick word from our sponsor.
Spider-Man and his amazing friends will return after these messages.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Tide Pods, now better than before, more delicious than ever. Good for your kids and good for you. Tide Pods. The world is a swirling darkness. Nothing is kind. Life is a cruel joke. You will spiral down into the abyss of acrimony until death. Eat Arby's. One more. If you're enjoying the show so far, please consider giving us a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from, and subscribing to future episodes. The only way a show like this gets anywhere in the podcasting world is by positive reviews and word of mouth among friends. So if you're inclined, please help spread the word about the podcast and share it with that special Gen Xer in your life. We'd love to have you as a friend of the show. Thank you so much.
So who's going to save a generation? Are you going to save a generation? Who will save Generation X?
We now return to Spider-Man and his amazing friends.
Let's hear that power struggle, baby.
Johnny, what can you make out of this?
This? Well, I could make a cap, or a brooch, or a pterodactyl.
Take a sniff, pull it out. The taste is gonna move you when you pop it in your mouth.
The humanoid must not escape. The humanoid not in here.
How's your confidence level on that, Zabe?
It goes up each time. Number 3 is the only one that I'm really scratching my head on. I'm pretty sure I know what it is, but there's I think I got a 69% chance of getting it right.
Well, we got one more chance to listen to it before you have to take your shot at it. I have faith in you. I think you've been a very good contestant. For being on the other side and saying you feel powerless and not knowing what you're doing. I think you've been a great contestant. You've been a better contestant than I have a host so far. So
the jury's out on all of it, Robert. Let's see how we finish, buddy.
We are up to round 3, my friends.
Round 3.
Yes. And round 3 today is a game called Sing Your Life.
Sing your life.
Ah, Zabe, you have had others sing their lives, but now is your chance to shine in your own Star Search moment. In this game, I will play a clip from a song, and the player must sing the next line until the judges are satisfied with their performance. Don't worry, though. If you heard the judges sing in previous episodes, then you'll know the bar is set pretty low here. There are 5 songs total to sing, and you'll be awarded 1 point for singing the next line, and 1 bonus point for naming the band or artist who sang that song, for a total of 10 points in the round. So if you're down on points right now, don't worry. because anything can still happen. So when you hear the music stop, you start singing, and then we'll reveal the rest of the song, and you'll have to tell me the band or artist. I'll toss you a nice softball to start with, and we'll see if you can score a home run here. Are you ready to sing your life, my friend?
Real quick before we do this, I just got to point out one thing. If anyone remembers Robert's episode, I played this game with Robert as the guest, and I gave Robert a pretty much an impossible one to get, and he handled it beautifully. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Robert's waiting for some revenge on me here. So listeners, see if you can figure out which revenge song Robert has in store for me. All of them, says JPollard.com. Let's find out. Yes, I'm ready to answer your question, Robert. Yes, let's do it.
Oh, this is a softball to start with, man. Okay. I wasn't going to be that cruel. All right, Zabe, get ready to sing your life. Here is clip number one.
Really laughable.
That was beautiful, man. Well, folks, did he get it right? Let's find out together. Well done, Zabe. And who sang that?
That was Mr. Stephen Patrick Morrissey.
That is correct for 2 points. You're nicer than Morrissey is these days. See, I'm not a mean guy.
You're not.
No revenge there. I gave you a nice, good one to start with.
Yeah, not a lot of lyrics to remember on that one.
No, I mean, like 90% ha. So I think I was pretty good to you. But we'll increase as we go a little bit. But I don't think there's anything here you can't handle. We'll find out together. Are you ready for your electric boogaloo moment number two? Are you ready to sing your life, Zabe?
I am.
Let's see if you can finish off this clip.
Let's smoke. Yeah. Get your body moved to the groove, baby. Come on, let's smoke. Question mark.
That was beautiful, man. All right, folks.
Madonna's not my jam, yo.
Let's see if he got it. No points for singing, but you did say it was Madonna, so you got that. So 1 point for that, sir. Half a loaf, better than none. All right, it's time to sing your life again. Here's clip number three. Let's see what you can do with this one. Are you ready?
Yes.
Yes, you are. Yes.
Malabamba, 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 Malabamba. That's all I got.
Give me 1 second to wipe the blood off my ears from that last. And let's see how Zay did. You missed a few words there, Zay. Sorry.
Yeah.
I would say you butchered the Spanish, man. That was
yeah.
Yeah. At no point does it actually even say La Bamba. Like it says Ba Bamba. Like, and you're like La Bamba. And I know it's stupid. The song's called La Bamba.
I'm doing my best here.
She's right, though. She's dead on right. They don't actually, they just keep saying Bamba Bamba over again in that part. So, but who sings it?
Who does sing that? Totally know it.
I'll give you a hint. It's not Madonna.
Yeah, it's not Madonna.
No.
I'm like, Los Lobos.
There you go. There's a
Los
point.
Los Lobos sings that.
I don't know that you should even count Los Lobos because it's Los Lobos.
Hey, you're not the judge, Paul.
No, I have the Folgers Crystal judges in tonight.
The judges gave me the ding already, so I'm taking it and running with it.
I also saw Lou Diamond Phillips sing this, so I'm so totally lost.
Judges, would you have accepted Lou Diamond Phillips?
Richie Valens, would you have accepted the original?
That's what I was going to come up with. If I couldn't come up with, I was going to say Richie Valens.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to go with Richie Valens, but
yeah,
I think that the Gen X answer is we were exposed to it from the movie. So I think Zabe is spot on.
Actually, my Gen X answer is that this was more baby boomer crap than that was.
Repackaged baby boomer. We ate up and watched
all of it. We had to watch it and we were forced on us. And so it really isn't even a Gen X question. That's me.
We made a turducken question of boomer Gen X and it's just deliciously bad.
So the movie was a Gen X movie, 100%. So I think it qualifies.
I kicked a Latin's hornet's nest with this one. I didn't know. Yes. All right, Zabe, we are up to number four here on Sing Your Life. Number four.
Number four in what game?
Sing Your Life.
Okay.
You won't get anything extra for it, but, you know, there are style points involved with this one. Okay. Here is your clip.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played.
Songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made.
Those were the days.
And you knew where you were then. Girls were girls and men were men. Mister, we could use a man like Herbert Hoover again. Didn't need no welfare state. Everybody pulled his weight. G.R.O. LaSalle ran great. Those were the days. Something like that.
That's good. That's good. You're good. You blew out the mic on that part. That was beautiful, man. That's exactly, you couldn't have asked for anything better. Let's see if you got it right.
And you knew where you were then.
Girls were girls and men were men. Mister, we could use a man like Herbert Hoover again.
And who are those people singing that?
That was the folks from All in the Family.
Yeah, Edith, they got names.
Edith and Archie Bunker.
I will accept that. That will accept. So 2 points for you on that one, sir. I would have also accepted Carol O'Connor and Gene Stapleton.
I'm much better with the character names than the actor names, for sure.
I think they were singing it in character, so I don't see any reason that's not acceptable. Well done. You're doing all right in this round. All right. You're up to your last Sing Your Life. All right. This is your last time you have to sing until the next time you let me host this for you. Then I'll make you sing again. Here is number five. I wish you the best of luck. If anybody was wondering where the revenge one comes in, this is about as close as it gets. Agreed. Good luck. May the force be with you.
You may.
Like New Orleans, New Orleans, Detroit City, Atlanta, Pittsburgh, PA, Kansas City, something city, Atlanta and LA, question mark, living in America.
That was beautiful, man. Look at a little tear or right here.
You said style points are involved, so hopefully that'll carry me through.
Yeah, unfortunately, those don't get added to your score. They get added to your style score, which is completely separate. You do have a style score of one, however, after that All in the Family one. So that was beautiful. Well, let's see how many cities he missed.
That's New Orleans. Detroit City. Dallas. Pittsburgh, PA. New York City. Kansas City. Atlanta. Chicago. And LA.
I had to look up Chicago. I was like, what does he say there?
I should have just mumbled my way through it. What am I thinking? But, enunciating my words. That was a total fail.
Who was it that mumbled their way through that one?
That's the hardest working man in show business, Mr. James Brown.
That is a point for you, sir. Well, was the hardest working man in show business.
Yeah.
All right. You have sung and... Let's see. We're gonna get to your score here in a few minutes, but we got, you know, some things we have to do first that are far more important before we get to your score. And one of the first things we have to do before we get to Zabe's final score is we're gonna take one last listen to the power struggle, and then we're gonna get his answer. Here it comes. Ready or not?
Johnny, what can you make out of this?
This? Well, I can make a cap, or a brooch, a pterodactyl.
Take a sniff, pull it out. The taste is gonna move you when you pop it in your mouth.
The humanoid must not escape. The humanoid not die.
All right, my friend, the chips are down. You're at DEFCON 1, and Michael J. Fox is at 87 miles per hour. What do you got?
Okay, so I think I got them all except for number three. Number one was the band Devo and the song Working in a Coal Mine. Working in a coal mine, going down. Yeah, that's my answer. Number two is the most hilarious movie from the early 80s. That's the movie Airplane. Number three... my final answer's got to be Juicy Fruit. Number four was the video game classic Berserk. And number five is the last little notes from the classic 80s sitcom Cheers.
Well, what am I supposed to say now? You only gave me a script if you're wrong.
Because no one ever gets them right.
Well, you just did, Zabe.
Woo-hoo!
All five of those are dead on correct.
I needed this because I get a bump in my grade. So it works out.
Thank you, Suzanne, for helping put that power struggle together. Well, you did it all. All I did was give you the Berserk clip. That's all I did. Oh, you got to love a game where you're chased by a smiley face who wants to kill you.
I was hoping well I would done. Get you on the Juicy Fruit one, but it's just so funny. I mean, I came across like I was looking for gum and take a sniff, pull it out. I mean, come
on. Not to me.
Gum commercial.
Does anyone ever smell their gum? Really? You smell your gum? Okay, so it's just like those commercials, those old soap commercials. You know, you see them taking a shower and they walk in and they're all like a zombie. And then they smell their soap and suddenly I'm like shot of, I don't know, stiffened Coke or something. Because like they're suddenly awake and jumping around in the shower. Has anyone ever smelled their soap before taking like a bar of soap? Has that ever happened to anyone ever, even once?
Ghost, the scent really? Opens your eyes.
I do it in the shower, like by myself. Just I smell it, just and mock it, just to make the commercials more real life. I guess you could say mockingly, and just to you know, as a satire bit. No one ever gets it because I'm alone in the shower.
How much satire do you do alone in the
shower? I do so much shower room satire. If I could bottle that and put that on the podcast, and my next podcast might be Zabe's satire shower time, but that's a whole other deal. OnlyFans page.
Yeah, I don't say, but ever since the G.I. Joe commercials, I don't believe any crap that they throw out there. Because I had a G.I. Joe and there wasn't like these mountains and bikes riding around and trees and stuff. It was just a G.I. Joe.
The old G.I. Joe commercials, they had like the kids behind green screen and they would shrink them down and you'd be able to get in your Cobra Hiss or et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, a little misleading there.
That's when I knew that they were all lying. That's the whole Gen X vibe.
Commercials lie? What? Go figure. Yeah.
You just keep on sniffing your soap, son. You do that. Just remember, Kurt Vonnegut once wrote, be careful what you pretend to be, because in the end, you are what you pretend to be. You are a soap sniffing weirdo. That's what you are. Zabe is doing rows of Irish Spring off a mirror when he gets out of the shower. Oh, it feels so good, don't you know? Top of the morning. Oh, got a little of that green still left on your nose there from this morning.
Sorry.
Well done, though. You get to bump yourself up a grade at the end. Well done, you. Oh, wow. And we got the great concept about soap. That's good. That's good radio right there, my friends. And I got to get that from Casey Case and my friends. Yeah. Oh, no. Right here. This is where the soap action is. And commercials for a nihilistic Arby's or some sort. So well done, though. A bump up on your letter grade and hopefully... Now, if they got it right out there, they still get a bump on their letter grade, right?
Absolutely.
You don't get to take that away from them. Okay. Now they all just heard your answers like, oh, I got it right. Every time he said an answer, I was like, yeah, that's what I was thinking. Oh,
same.
Well done. What a wonderful contestant you've been. Zabe, thank you so much for lending your time and talents to this podcast on the other side of the chair. It's been really weird sitting here in the Regis Philbin chair, let me tell you. But imagine it's been a little weirder for you over there. Did you have a good time? on the show.
I had a great time, Robert. Thank you so much for putting this all together. Thank you, Suzanne, for the power struggle. And you did a lot of work was put into this episode, and I can tell. So thank you very much, Robert. I appreciate you, buddy. I'm glad we're friends.
I thank everybody else who helped out too. Robin, Suzanne, thank you for doing your part to help keep this under control when it ran off the rails tonight a few times. So thank you for keeping the stupid men in check. I appreciate that very much. Zabe, you have a message for those listening that you may have beat here today before we get to your score?
Well, I don't know how many people I beat, but it's my birthday. But my gift to you is everyone gets a free letter grade bump, right? So enjoy.
Look at the celebration going on in the audience. Look at them.
They're going
ones
berserk.
And ones of people losing their minds. Look at them. They're dancing. Well, let's find out. What was your final score, sir? What do we have? Let's go to the booth. Robin, up there in the booth, what do you got for us?
Final score of 19.
No, 19. Not shabby, sir. Is there anything you would like to plug other than, well, this show or any shout outs that you'd like to give before we hand out the ranks?
I mean, we've been doing a shout outs for our Patreon supporters. I'd like to give a shout out to Mike, who has doubled his Patreon support. He upped his tier to the double of what he was previously at. So special shout out to you, Mike. This next sound clip goes out to you specifically. But I think he did it just because he's a good friend of mine and he knows it's my birthday. So if anybody's feeling like sliding a birthday present my way, that's a great way to do it. Otherwise, I can ask for a much better gift than you just listening to the show and following us on Facebook and our socials. I appreciate everyone for listening. I don't know how to feel about turning 50. It's a weird sensation for me being a half century old, but I am I'm going to try and embrace it as gracefully as I can. It's not easy, but thanks for being my friends out there on the podcast universe. And I look forward to a lot more shows and seeing you all then.
You guys are awesome. All of you. Awesome. You are our priests, our shrinks, our main connection to the switchboard of souls. All of you. You are fantastic. All right. So you got a 19. Does everyone else remember their score? There were 30 points available, but let's go to see how well you did and get to the grades and ranks. If you are playing against our special guests and scored less than 19, then you let this Oreo stacking champ beat you, and you might want to go back and brush up on the memories of your youth.
We need to edit that script.
No, you are an Oreo stacking champ. You are
the script from like three episodes ago.
You are stacking.
Okay.
Eat the damn Oreo. All right. So this episode, we are using the Fabulous 50 scoring system for grading the quiz in honor of Zabe's milestone birthday. So let's go to the ranks. A score of 27 to 30 points is the grade of an A and earns you the rank of Hawaii 50. You are the epitome of tropical cool. Never letting the bad guys see you sweat. And never a hair out of place, just like Jack Lord intended. No obstacle holds you back for long, and you always end up having Dano book 'em, but good. You put the A in APB. Congratulations. You are doing your part to save Generation X. Well done. One of the best theme songs ever.
Absolutely.
A score of 23 to 26 points is enough for a B and the rank of 50 cent. You took the shots and went down, but you got up again. They're never going to keep you down. Just like the famed rapper, you weathered through the tough times and did pretty well for yourself in the end. You didn't quite make it to the candy shop, but you're definitely in the club. And we think that is a solid B. What? Uh-huh. 50 cent. 50 birthday. Oh, yeah. A score of 19 to 22 points is enough for a C. And this gives you the rank of the 50 cent spot on the Showcase Showdown wheel on the Price is Right. Well, here you are, stuck right in the middle. You could have done better, but you could have done worse. Fortunately, you don't have to make the decision to spin or stay, risking thousands in prizes. No, you are firmly cemented in the center. And for that, we have to rank this as a C on the quiz. If you scored 16 to 18 points, that is enough for a D. And that can only be 50 ways to love your lever. That's right, 50 ways to love your lever. Well, you gave it a shot, Scott. You didn't do great, Nate. Your score's kind of low, Joe. Couldn't find the key. Your score has us crying, Brian. And you know I ain't lying. So it has to be, Lee, that we're giving you the D. That's what you get. You get the D right there. And finally, if you scored 15 or less, well, that's a failing grade, I'm afraid. And that can only mean the rank of 50 shades of gray. I cannot properly convey in words how utterly disappointed I was in 50 Shades of Gray. The paper wasn't very absorbent at all. It was very rough on my tender flesh. It didn't come in a convenient roll form, and it constantly clogged my pipes with every single flush. This was clearly a failure, as is this grade of an F for not getting more than 15 points on the quiz. Try again on the next episode of The Home Game and see if you can't get a passing grade.
Bob Barker reminding you, help control the pet population. Have your pets spayed or neutered. Good night, everybody.
Once again, I'd like to give a shout out to our special guest, Zabe, as well as our live studio audience for being present on this episode. After the show, we're going to play some additional trivia games with the audience, and that will be available to listen to as bonus content for our Patreon supporters only. Zabe, I just want to say before we get to the end of this, first of all, happy birthday. As somebody who's already passed your milestone, and I'm trying to handle it with the most aplomb I can, happy birthday to you. You are a wonderful friend. I could not be more grateful for your presence in my life. Even though we're states apart, I feel like I know you like you live next door. So the happiest of happy birthdays to you. I wish I could be there for you next week at your party, man.
The feeling is mutual, Robert. Love you, buddy.
And you, audience, I love you guys, too. You guys are awesome for being here. You are so good to this man. You let him have a pity point. God love you. You are all wonderful people. Your wife is a very patient man, Zabe. Very patient man. Oh, God. Shut up. Dude, I haven't had a cigarette in an hour. Give me a break. That's what you think smoking sounds like. All right. I don't know what you're smoking, but okay. This is so far off the rails. We hope you enjoyed playing along this episode of The Home Game, and we'll post your score on our Facebook group page. If you're interested in supporting the show, we have a Patreon account set up for those who would like to take advantage of the special rewards we give out for becoming a Patreon subscriber. However, if you just want to send some appreciation for what we're trying to do here, we also offer our Venmo account, and you can send that to Who Will Save Generation X. Detailed information is available in the show notes for both of these ways to send some love to the show. If you have any comments, questions, a shout out, or would like to sign up and become a guest of the show, you can email Zabe or any of the judges at whowillsavegenx@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your feedback. Well, Zabe would. I don't know what you're going to think of me, but we'd still love to hear your feedback and invite you to become a friend of the show. Anybody got anything they want to throw out there before we sign this puppy up and blow this popsicle stand for more games and fun? Zabe, any last thoughts?
No, I think I've fumbled my way through this episode enough.
Sir, you and I getting through this episode is like Shades of Cal Stanford. Just the ball flying and the bands on the field. Everybody's running into everybody. And I have had so much fun doing it. Thank you for allowing me this opportunity. It was so much fun to do.
Thank you, Robert.
Well, that's it for this edition of The Home Game. Thanks so much to all of you for listening, wherever you are. We'll be back with our regular version of the podcast with your regular host in the next episode, where we will once again ask the question, who will save Generation X? Later.
Later.
And now, Who Will Save Generation X presents this edition of Out of Context Theater.
This is the world's most edited podcast, Robert. Just keep it rolling.
It will be by the end of the night, man.
So you must be Turbo and Ozone.
I am Dr. Robert. Hi, Zabe. Thanks for coming on your own show.
Oh, they're also like macho.
We're superheroes, eh? It's my Midwestern accent.
I just pretend to be a really smart guy in the podcast. I'm really not.
Yes, that. Exactly.
They wouldn't use that on television. Lalaine? That's not a television name.
Whatever.
What was the other question that I wrote that I can't remember?
Take a sniff. Pull it out.
I do it in the shower, like by myself. Just I smell it, just and mock it.
Drop it.
It goes up each time.
All the ladies love my magic missile.
It's so good.
Hijinks ensued.
Everybody pulled his weight.
I also saw Lou Diamond Phillips sing this.
They're related.
Inconceivable.
Your wife is a very patient man, Zay.
That's a total fail.
Selfish, mean-spirited drunk.
You're soaking in it,
just like Jack Lord intended. Leave Plinko alone.
Leave it alone.
I would say you butchered the Spanish, man.
Hey, you're not the judge, Paul.
Well, unless he was in drag and named Shirley. No, I don't think he was.
Tide Pods.
Of all things in the world to put in your kryptonite.
Ladies want to know how big G.I. Joe was.
D, 14 inches.
Damn right it is. It's my birthday. Go. Throw me a bone here.
Bringing owlbears to the masses. That gigigooga haba ha.
I feel very much exposed right now.
You are stacking.
It was very rough on my tender flesh.
Viper.
Has anyone ever smelled their soap?
You are a soap sniffing weirdo. That's what you are.
I'm glad we're friends.
You fell into my trap, Nazi scumbag.
Okay. Eat the damn Oreo.
I should have just mumbled my way through it.
And I gotta get that from Casey Kasem.
We made a turducken question of Boomer Gen X, and it's just deliciously bad.
That was beautiful, man.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.